From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
It's the beat. Hope y'all out there. I can't hear nobody. I can't see nobody. Hello?
What's going on? It's Chris. You out there?
Yeah, man. I'm having all kinds of PC problems out here, bro. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Beyond my control.
Yes.
But I'm here, bro. I'm here. So hopefully the rest of the Giants faithful, you know. It's a bummer, man. It's a bummer. But how you doing, Steve?
Big Blue Roundtable preview versus the Cowboys episode. What up, Chris? What up, stakeholders? Not much, man. You know, how many times we've done this? Maybe how many previews versus the Cowboys? Maybe about 7-8 times. So
about
you include
seven,
post games,
yeah,
so that's another
about
eight.
Seven,
we talked about this team 16, 17 times on the show. Easily.
That's right. And we always hope for the same, but not the same results all the time, but the same hopefulness that we will come out victorious. So that's always a good thing. And hopefully, you know, we're feeling really good now about what we can do. Okay, what's possible, but this show is about the reality of what should happen. But that's what we're gonna knock around tonight, Steve, about what's gonna happen from here, what we're gonna do on Sunday. So let's get to it, bro.
I have no idea,
working
man.
On my
I'm going to be honest. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea what we're going to do. So let me think this out on this episode, because I gave us no shot last week. And
I noticed. I want you to get into that before you go on.
Everyone, honestly. I still don't believe we won, but it's shocking. In so we got to get everybody else on, so we can talk about this matchup. The Cowboys are doing well this year, man. We can talk about the matchups on the field and get to our picks. And then go from there, man.
Yeah.
Let's get them, man. I got nothing else to add, man. I got nothing.
Yeah, let's do that, because I can't see nothing. So I'm flying blind right now, brother. So lead me on.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. I just arrived. All right. Back in the fold again. Let's go around the room right quick. I know this is my blue wife, the comfortable lady blue on the line here.
Hey, hey, hey.
How's everything?
Hey.
How was your trip?
The trip was fantastic. The car did wonderful. The roads still suck, and I thought a few potholes were going to swallow our SUV, but we made it. I swear to Christ, when we left New York, I could hear the car just whisper, thank you.
Probably did. But we'll talk about
yeah,
that
but
minute.
We had a great time. The wedding was gorgeous.
Alrighty,
we cleaned up nice. So
I hope so. Well,
it was
so
funny. It was funny. Real quick, it was funny. While I was in the hotel room while Mario and everyone else was taking photos because he was in the wedding party, I was watching the entire game in my Giants gear in the hotel room. And then I waited to the last possible moment to get dressed for the wedding. And then we had to leave just as it was hitting overtime. So I was standing outside watching the game. And when we won in overtime, I yelled so loud that the wedding party heard me yell while they were taking pictures.
You know, I got to tell you, Lady Blue, there are casual fans, mutual fans, sometimes fans, fanatic fans. But you are the first addicted fan I ever seen in my life, man. You addicted. You are a big blue addict. You must. If you get in an accident, you're gonna be a medical phenomenon. All that blue comes out of you. Unbelievable.
Oh, let me tell you. When Mary,
wait a minute. Lady, we'll do it on your turn. I gotta get people really.
Okay.
Pleasant good evening, everybody,
bro?
On this 90 degree sunny day here in Dallas. Ready for Sunday.
Ah, shit. Here he goes. Oh, see, that's not how I wanted you to start that, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to get you back during somewhere during these next 54 minutes. I'm going to get you back, bro. All right. Hold on 1 second. Dave, Big Blue, Denver Crew. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's up, man? You all right?
Hey. Okay? Oh, yeah, I'm doing it. Hey, you know what? The Giants finally play 60 minutes plus the overtime of winning football. So how do you think I'm feeling right now?
Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to get into. I love that. I love that optimism. Everybody, it's the Bleed Blue Show, Steve and Chris. This is the preview against your wonderful, loving Cowboys that you love so much. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Bleed Blue Show, the Bleed Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show, Bleed Blue Show. Hey, Steve, so before everybody's
yes,
got a
yes,
story
sir.
To tell, I want to hear Lady Blues, but real quick, tell me about why, tell us all again about you leaving the stadium, man. Please do that. We got to hear that. That's the classic.
Oh, yeah. I want to say that, and then also let me give me I'm going to set off, you know, the tidbits for today's, this week's matchup. I was sitting with Carl at the game with Carl, Danny, and what's her name? what's her name? Carl, Dixie, whatever her name is. But anyway, I had left at halftime because I went to go see a friend in the upper deck, and Saints fans were talking shit. Like, you know, I went up there minding my business. I wasn't really trying to talk shit. So they got, I got annoyed, man. I really wanted to, you know, punch somebody in the face. So came back to my seat, and I think Taysom Hill had scored, and I was just, at this point, you know, I felt like the game was kind of, it felt like the Giants were just not going to win at that point. So I bounced. I left. And then it wasn't until later I was getting hit up from family that we won. I'm like, what? How? And that's when I called you guys. That's when I heard Billy Bob and think Tristan was going off. And then I went off when I called in. But, I'm shocked that that way we won, that when I went back and looked at it. But it was, you know, the Superdome is the Superdome. It is what it is. But this week, Chris, real quick, before we jump into to Lady Blue.
Yeah.
Man, one guy, Diggs, the guy from Alabama, has been playing real well from them. I don't know what we're going to do as far as a game plan, and he's probably going to stick whatever wide receiver is left on the team if they're not still injured with the hammies. You know, and they've been playing well. You got Lewis has been okay. They've been getting after the quarterback. I saw a little bit of the high Zinsy all the game when they played Carolina. You know, just highlight snippets, so I don't really – it's hard to really go over that. But we know that offensively they've been on the money, man. Like Dak's been, he looked good in the first game versus Tampa, and I think he's got like a 75% completion rate. Block, could the Giants get to him? And if you can't get to Dak Prescott, you can forget about it, man. I mean, they got too many wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, other guy Schultz, Gallon, whenever he's there, man. So I don't know, man. I hate we all hate the Cowboys, but being objective, could they pull it off back-to-back on the road? Man, I didn't think they'd go and get one in New Orleans, Chris. So let's see what LB says. Let's see what Paul says. Let's see what everybody says.
All right, 929-477-4171. Lady Blue, kick it off on the Bleed Blue Show for your 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone knows how much I just hate this team. So I always hope that we kick their ass, but I'm iffy on this one. I mean, we're still on the high from winning in overtime. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I was tickle pink and screaming my brains out when we won, watching the game on my phone. And yes, Chris, to your point, I am such a diehard fanatic that when Mario and I got married, I made sure it was on a bye week. So, I mean, when it comes to my Giants, baby, everything is on hold because football always comes first. And spoiled little only child, but football has always come first for me, and everything else is a second. But I really, really hoping that we can pull out a win again. I really do. I'd love to get two in a row on the road. I mean, shit, I don't think we've won in Dallas since, what, 2016, I think, was the last time we won, if I remember correctly. I don't know. Yeah, okay. I mean, but you never know. I mean, in, you know, with our Giants, it depends on which team shows up or who shows up or what kind of frame of mind they're in. If it, you know, you never get consistency. That's the biggest thing with our team. But, hey, I'm hopeful, and I'm going to be screaming my brains out as usual, and we will see what happens. But like I said, I was just
about on, who do you worry about on Dallas, though?
They've got tremendous offensive weapons and even part of their defense. I mean, our offensive line is held up. I mean, I can't remember half their names because I just hate Dallas so much that I don't even care who's on their team. Not for nothing. I mean, I hate that team more than anything. But
yeah, I noticed.
Yeah, but I have a feeling our offensive line is going to be struggling. I mean, I really hope they keep, you know, DJ upright and they give him enough time because we all know what happens when, you know, things go bad. But our wide receivers during the Saints game, I mean, Kadarius Toney did good. And, I mean, everyone that was out that played did very well. I was very impressed with how we were going back and forth with the game. I mean, yeah, there were times where I was screaming to the point where I thought that we were going to blow it. But, yeah, like I said, it's all about consistency, and it depends on which Giants team actually goes to Dallas.
Okay. Fair enough. Lady Blue, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, well, on that note, we got to keep it going, and then we got to come back around. Carl, at C-Notes, what am I looking at here?
Who are you worrying about, Carl? We need names, damn it. Who are we worrying about this week? We need names.
I'll give you a name. Oh, and also, and Lady
Tony
Blue's question,
Pollard.
Too. When was the last time we won over there?
2016 was the year. It was Dak Prescott's rookie year. His very first NFL start was that day. And since that time, outside of last year's game where they won on the field goal, the other 3 years or 4 years, I should say, were, no, 3 years, were not competitive ball games.
Okay, fair enough. All right, what do you think?
That was the game Terrence Williams didn't go out of bounds, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That was,
yeah, we were there.
Yeah, opening. Yeah, opening day that day. But one guy who has been getting a lot of talk here, and I know Ezekiel Elliott had a big game last week, is Tony Pollard. There has been discussion last, I would say, 2 weeks prior to last Sunday's game that Pollard might have been the better back of the two in the Cowboys' backfield. If you look at Pollard this season, I think he's averaging just under 7 yards a run this season in about half the carries that Elliott has. So when he comes into the game, if you've noticed this season so far, guys, the Giants' rushing defense, which has been very poor. I mean, we saw it up close and personal on Sunday in New Orleans, whether it was tackling Kamara or tackling Hill. Shifty running backs have had a pretty good success rate against the Giants this season because of the poor tackling. So if you factor that into the equation come Sunday, there's a very high probability that the Giants, even though Elliott has done very well this season, that because of his sort of bulk, the Giants might be able to slow him down a little bit more than you might think. But Pollard being the shifty type of running back that can make a person miss, he's a guy that on, let's say, 3rd and 5, you get a throw into the flat to him 3 yards behind the line, he can make that one guy miss and then get the first down, and then get additional yardage. So that would be somebody that I would tell everyone right now to look out for in the game this week. As far as the overall game is concerned, listen, Cowboys offense has been very good since the first game of the season. That is not even up for debate. The one thing that I did notice is that they are +7 right now in turnover differential. And that's not always sustainable. If you saw the Eagles game, you know, you notice, you know, they, you know, the, some of the interceptions that have been going on, the game against the Chargers, same sort of thing. That kind of thing usually tends to even out over time. And if the Giants avoid not turning over the ball, I think this is something that the game can be closer than a lot of people believe.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Wow. Okay. I had a question, but I'm going to hold on to it because it's all encompassing. So hold on a second. Dave, you're up, man. Big Blue Denver Crew, you got 3 minutes still. What's going on?
What's going on? All right, so for this Giants and Dallas game, on defense, I think that you said who we are worried about. Well, it all starts with Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard, right? It all starts with them. If we could contain them, because you know they're gonna run the ball, but the thing is, as soon as they run the ball, if they get 5 yards. They have to tackle them and not let them get more than that. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to run the ball. As long as we could contain the run and not let them go crazy after the run, then that would stop Dak from dropping back with the play action and having time to throw the ball. Another thing, Carl was right, you know, with the defensive line. Our defensive line been horrible on stopping the run. But I think Shelton is getting better, and they just got to – Dexter Lawrence, Shelton, and Leonard Williams, they've got to build that wall, and they got to see where Ezekiel and Tony's going to be running through and build that wall and stop them. That's the problem. The tackling, if you go back and watch – I know you guys are at the game, but if you go back and watch the tape, when there was – Kamara, what was going on is that hole was big. So Kamara gets 8 yards and they tackle him, right? With the Taysom Hill, if you go back and look at that real closely, the Giants wasn't missing tackles. They wasn't not even trying to tackle them. They was trying to strip the ball away from them.
Oh, yeah, I know.
If you really look at it. They was trying to strip the ball, and that was a mistake. Like, no, tackle the guy. Fuck the strip the ball. Just tackle him. And that's the reason it went through, you know? And also, the defense cannot give up big plays. You know, they cannot give up big plays. And they've got to contain the running game. On offense for the Giants, you know, the offensive line, I believe, is getting better and better. You know, they've been giving Daniel Jones protection. And we're starting to see that if you give Daniel Jones protection, the man is accurate as crazy. You know what I'm saying? The only thing with Daniel Jones that he needs to get better at, but he's doing a great job, is only because the play is written up for Galladay. If he's not open, just go off route, man. Throw it to somebody else. Don't just, you know, zoom in on that one receiver. And also, if you think about last week, I went back and watched the Cowboys game, and I noticed that Sam Darnold, when he was in the red zone, he ran the ball for 2 touchdowns. So, you know, if the Giants get in the red zone area, I know we got Barkley, but it would be great if they do that RPO, if they go back and look at that tape. And just, you know, they got to keep the crowd out of it from the beginning, from jump start. You know, the St. New Orleans, I know New Orleans is louder than that. So the Giants have no problem. The Giants have no problem in offense because the crowd's not going to be as loud as New Orleans.
Gotcha. That's Dave, everybody. Big Blue Wrecking Crew. Steve, I am only concerned about a man named Michael Parsons, okay? Because there's more to the story than just what happened on the field. You know what I mean? Before the draft, man, a lifetime Giants fan Parsons was sitting there tweeting. I'm not tweeting, but texting back and forth with Barkley. You know, the Giants called him pre-draft, said, we hope you fall to us. He was all excited. The call never came. He went to the team that he never liked, that he is performing for right now. He could probably haunt the Giants immediately, if not starting this game, maybe for years to come. All right? Last week, they – like, okay. I don't know what they're actually doing but I know it's kind of a genius move in a little bit if you're trying to scout him from offense. But he played defensive end as a pure pass rusher the second and the third game, I should say, right? But the first and last game, he was outside linebacker. Okay, when he rushes consistently, when he rushes the passer, he looks like he's been here for 12 years, and he looks like a lowercase friggin' my man from the 49ers, with the French name, used to be with the 49ers. He retired early. I can't remember his name right now, but he'll come to me in a second. Okay? He's raw as an edge rusher, man. And I'm not sure if they're going to play him there or not. He's got that freakish athleticism. He's got that effort. He's very difficult to block. And the Giants have their hands full no matter what side he lines up in, because that's unclear too. But there's another guy. I never could say his name, too. His brother played for the Giants a few years ago. Double O, that dude.
Yeah.
He is a monster right now. He playing defensive tackle. He already got a couple of sacks and a hell of a lot of pressures. He looks small, but he's strong, explosive. Bruh, they look a little bit mean right there. And that's what I'm going to stay at. I mean, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is supposed to be gone. I hope he is. And I never did like Randy Gregory, so I'm not worried about his ass. He's an underachiever, and he was overrated. But I'm worried about Parsons, and I'm worried about the other rookie, Double O. And that's where I'm at with that, Steve.
So what about blocking and containing him as far as our interior alignment with Will Hernandez or even on the opposite side with Bredesen? What's the plan?
That's what I'm saying. Where is he going to – okay, as far as O-double-O? He's trying to he's got some long, explosive arms. The best thing for you to do is you got to back up – I believe it's going to be Billy Price. You got to back him up with whoever our lead probably with Elijah Kenny, man, because you can't double him because you got to worry about the other side, okay? You got to worry about Parsons, and they got another player. They got another player whose name they got rid of Jalen Smith and they got somebody else. I can't remember who it is right now. But
are you talking about Neal or Van Der Esch?
No. I'm not. What's the other guy's name? Neal, right?
Neal and Van Der Esch. Yeah, they signed Neal this year.
Yeah, they signed him from the Falcons. Yeah.
Okay, that's the one I'm worried about, too. I can't really scout this yet, Steve, because this is a little different. And also, I believe, and I'll get to this in the next round, I believe Jason Garrett's going to come out different, too, because he has an axe to grind and a point to make, too, on a personal level, so against this particular team. So I don't know. I don't really have the answers. That's why I'm with you guys, man. But I'm worried about those three cats. Right there, more than anybody else. I'm not worried about Randy Gregory, but as soon as you say that, he surprises you. Okay, I'm pretty sure they're going to take care of Diggs. Okay, who's gotten a lot of press this week, but I'm not worried about that yet. Van der Bosch ain't 100%, so I'm not. Then they already have scouted him. They got the book on him, so I'm not really, 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 really on him yet. But that defensive end part that DeMarcus Lawrence was at. They got about five or six dudes that played that already, man. They got that Basham dude. They got Golson. What's his other name? The other Kamara. They got all of these dudes that keep coming in and out like a freaking fire drill, dude. And I don't know how to look at that. And I definitely know that we need to be prepared with our line, and also Andrew Thomas, who is picking it up a bit in maturity and game. He's got to be prepared too, because. What is he going to look at? How many different players is he going to see? So I don't know. I don't know what's happening. They're going to test him. So that's where I'm at, man. I'm at a quandary right now, bro. You know, because they might not even line up Randy Gregory across from Thomas. Okay, all right. He had a nice game two games ago, but he's not on fire. He never has been, to tell you the truth. But that's all I got, Steve. But that's
you said you said Jason Garrett's got something to prove. I'll give you somebody who's got something to prove. That's the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, who's continuing to got something to prove, and that's Dan Quinn. That's a guy who has a reputation of a defensive guy, got a head coach job, didn't work out, remember the Super Bowl and how just they haven't just done anything. Now, he's kind of on a grind right now, brought in his own guys like Keanu Neal. You know, he's only played a couple of games, but he's always, to me, been an underrated linebacker. His thing was always about health. He could never stay healthy. They make a lot of plays with their secondary, man. And this is where I worry, and this is, goes back to the matchup with I mentioned Trayvon Diggs. If you watch the Monday night game and how he was covering up on Devontae Smith, those guys, you know, went at it, you know, in their college days in practice. What if we see a situation, he's on Galladay, Galladay's not getting the ball, you think Galladay's going to let it be known, the Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones tries to force things in there, and it may not happen? Like, what? Like the game within the game. You might be going up against your own player because a disgruntled wide receiver on the road versus the division opponent. I'm not convinced our quarterback could do it back-to-back weeks on the road. I agree with Dave.
I sure hope
Dallas is not New Orleans, but you heard what I said last week. That's the loudest building in the league, and he did a good job. But back-to-back weeks on the road, I don't see it. But let me say one more thing, Chris, before you ask your question. I was going to say the interior lineman blocking, that could be an issue. And I worry about the blitz coming from the secondary because you got Curse and Brown. And they may come off the edge. They put a couple of guys in the box, and they're gonna have to dare Tony if he's in there or Ross to win those matchups. I'm not convinced. I gotta see it. What was your question before we get other people on?
No, I was just gonna say the guy that I was trying to remember was Jabril Cox. That's who it was. He's coming around. As far as your commentary a second ago, something else stuck out on me too. You know, now that I think the X Factor here, and that I think this may be the real debut of the X Factor, will be Kadarius Toney. One of the things that I saw that nobody's talking about with his game last week is he's really tough to bring down. You know. And he can open up that offense on the other side when he lines up against John Ross. And that might be something that I think Garrett is going to try to exploit. That's just what I'm thinking. I want to get the stakeholders' take on it, but I'm thinking that.
Cool.
Okay? That's we'll see. We'll see, Steve. 929-477-4171. You're listening to Bleed Blue Show. You heard Azul. This is Professor. Who else we got on the line coming down, Steve? What's happening?
I think Billy Bob is on the line. Give us a matchup. We need names, Billy Bob. We need names. Who we got to worry about on Dallas, man? Who we worrying about on Dallas? Offense or defense? Matchup-wise. How you see this?
I would say we should be worried about they.
What's up, Billy Bob?
What's up? What they do, man? Listen, I think we should worry about their offense. I think we should be worrying about their offense because I think that's the most dangerous part because, like I said, everybody's defense is shaky right now. So it's not like – I don't really think nobody's defense is, like, tough or hard to go against, but I just think we should worry about the offense. Hey, I was hoping, is it possible, can we pick up their linebacker, Jalen Smith? Not that I'm just saying that, but, I mean – I would thought if they released him, why shouldn't we pick him up? I mean, just to have some depth. I don't know. But that's just my thoughts of thinking. But as far as anything, hey, listen, I've been talking about Kadarius Toney since day one when I kept telling y'all we have a wide receiver that plays like he's a running back. He's hard to bring down. He's like the human joystick. I've been talking about the dude since day one when I kept saying, I probably wasn't saying his name, but I was like, listen, it's personal problems. If we don't figure out how to use this guy, it was going to be null and void. So that's where I was at with it. That's why I kept saying, listen, we have a wide receiver that's playing running back. I like he can even play running back. If y'all notice, man, this is why I said what I said. Urban Meyer was licking his chops because he thought that we was not going to pick this man up. He was going to – Kadarius Toney was going to Jacksonville if we didn't pick him up. That's what made Urban Meyer have to settle the running back out of Clemson because Urban Meyer was going to use Kadarius Toney as a running back. This man is like – that's why I'm like – this is why I'm so upset that we still not even using this man in a proper – having him spread out wide, that's not his position. He's supposed to be in the slot. He's supposed to be in the backfield. That's why I say he's right. Like a Reggie Bush. Anyway, the same way that Sean Payton used it, Reggie Bush, that's the same way we're supposed to be using this dude. And listen, if y'all want me to get big, that's why I said know your personnel. That's why I said that from off jump. I'm like, bro, we got a playmaker. And it's so crazy. I'm sitting here thinking like, and that's why I told you. You like, why you ain't saying nothing? I don't even think we're going to be consistent enough to even use him. That's why I say, can Jason Garrett be consistent enough to come back this game and use him? And I want to say, even I think Manny Dawg said that, we don't even have a scheme. Can the Giants come in this game with a fucking scheme? Like, you know you got the players. You got Galladay. You got Kadarius Toney. You got all these other players. Can you come up with a good goddamn scheme to utilize all these players? And one more person said something like, oh, Darius Slayton got his position took. No, we're not going to say somebody got their position took. We're going to sit here and say, can you use all these players that we have? I see plenty of teams that have multiple players that they can just run in there and use all of them. We should be able to use all our damn weapons to the best of our abilities, bro. We should be sitting here talking about who should be taking somebody's position. Find a way to use all of them. Be dang, man. Be like, that's how we got to come into this game, using all our weapons.
All right. Billy Bob,
can I pose a question?
Yes, sir.
Would Toney be seeing the field if Shepard didn't get hurt?
Ooh, I would love for big frontliner Stroudner to answer that question. I'm going to give that right to him right now for you. I just want to tell everybody it's the Bleed Blue Show, 929-477-4171. Steve, this would also be a good week for Evan Engram to grow up. I just wanted to say that. All right, Brother Bates, frontline extraordinaire, homie, what's up?
What's up, Professor? What's up, Steve? What's up, everybody? More than likely seeing as Toney and Shep play the same spot position, more than likely – he probably wouldn't get in there, or maybe on some gadget plays. Technically, Garrett should be running Toney in that jet sweep instead of that other player we won't mention anymore. But, yeah, he's definitely a player that needs to get the ball early and often and get him in the rhythm.
Yep.
I like the rhythm from last week's game. I was at the game as well with Steve and a bunch of the frontliners, and I like the way the offense looked. For this matchup, Schultz is what bothers me the most. Schultz and, of course, the other wideouts. You know, Dallas is playing well early, but we know how that goes. But I think the key for us to win is to control the tempo. So have a good mixture of the run game, dealing with the replay option, which I think Jones is doing really well at so far, except for that one fumble when he was diving for the first down. As a staunch Jones hater, I must say this season he has really stepped his game up, so I'm pleased with his play. A big deal for me was last week after we went down two scores and they came back and scored immediately. That's the first time I can remember since Eli left that we did something like that in a game that we weren't playing Washington. So I've been impressed by his play. And the play calling has gotten a little better. I think it's a combination of Garrett opening the book up a little bit more and Toney and Galladay getting more entrenched in the offense. I like what I see. I'm pleasantly hopeful. I'm more positive after seeing that win. I've been told it's fool's gold, but I'm feeling a quiet confidence going into this game. This is a good litmus test for the Giants against a strong NFC East opponent, a rivalry week. And I think we have a good chance if we control the clock and keep the ball away from their offense and score touchdowns instead of field goals. That's going to be key.
Right.
So, you know, a lot less mistakes were made in the New Orleans game, which I was pleased with. Still wasn't great, but it's a better improvement. The O line played really well. I don't think they gave up a sack, but I don't think the Saints have a really staunch pass rush either. But they didn't give up a sack, so it'll be different this weekend. But I feel good about it. So usually, when you're playing your a big rival, the records and everything goes out the window. So we shall see. But I feel quietly confident about it.
All right. My homie, that's big. Frontline extraordinaire himself. And you know what though? That guy, how do you say that? He's Matt Skura that we signed, the left guard. He did a damn good job in New Orleans, man. He did a damn good job, and that's essential because we've had a different left guard every game, y'all. Y'all know that. We started with Lemieux, then we went to Nick Gates for a minute. Now, then this guy, the other dude, Breederson, that's or whatever his name is, he was there. So this guy, Skura, him and Billy Price, they function well together, man. I like that, man. And Soldier had a decent game, too. Yes, I said that. Nate Soldier had a decent game, too. So the old line was well. They need to do it at least one more time.
Can we give some praise to Andrew Thomas through the first four games of the season?
Yes, we can.
I think he's only allowed six pressures in four games. Like, that's elite-level stuff right there he's been playing.
Yes.
Professor, just to answer Billy Bob's question, I think the gentleman that was released by the Cowboys was signed by the Packers, so he's already gone.
I know. And that's another crazy thing before I kick it to Steve. You're supposed to have 12 hours before you pick somebody up for waivers, man. This guy was signed by the Packers in 12 hours and 2 minutes. Okay, that was he's like they were like waiting for him at the gate, or outside the locker room practically. Next, I would have liked to actually have had him, but we're not going to go that way in the show today. 929-477-4171, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you know, have we mentioned, did we say anything at all about our defense so far in, 37 minutes into the show?
Do they have any blitz packages in them? Are they going to take gambles? Because we don't have the edge rusher to consistently get back there and disrupt Dak Prescott or any quarterback who we play. That's going to be a week-to-week issue all season long. It's going to have to be addressed in the off season unless we get a trade or something like that. Because you can't necessarily rely on Leonard Williams. He's more of an interior guy. He's going to get through the B gaps to do what he do. But you guys got to get somebody on that edge. And Dak Prescott is someone, like, you give him time, he's going to find open guys. He's been doing it, you know, even all season. So. I mean, I worry about
we
that.
We
got to
have
the question is,
on that passing game, Steve.
What about Patrick Graham? What about if we can't get to the quarterback? Mm. What other adjustments can we do? I know Jabril Peppers was limited in practice today. You know, like
he was limited with Shepard. Yeah.
Well, what about McKinney? Yeah. Can we put him in a box? What can we do?
That's what I'm saying. Well, here's the thing, though. Can we stop the run without committing the safety to the box? That's what I need to know. With Dallas,
I don't know.
You know?
I don't think so. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. And we got to figure out how to stop Lamb and the Cooper. Cause Cooper is going to play. It was a little shaky at first. But when they're in the slot, man, these dudes are dangerous, bro. You know that. It's insane. And my blood pressure is hiking up already because of this anticipation from this. All right. We got to go back to the top, Steve. You got any questions, man, you want to employ? Or you want anybody to talk about? Could anybody talk about this defense? Or what we just said? Let's try that. Lady Blue at the top of the game. and then, Carl, I really want to hear what you got to say, Dave, and then the frontline extraordinaire himself. Go ahead, Lady Blue.
I'm really worried about our defense because sometimes we can't. I mean, our defense is they play. This bend don't break crap has got to stop. We, like you said, we don't have any pass rushes. We have nobody that really gets the quarterback. We haven't in a while. With Martinez out, he was our number one tackler. So our defense, it's hard. Like I said, it all depends on who shows up. If they can have the momentum from winning last week in overtime, collide a fire under their ass to do something, maybe. But what we've seen the past 4 weeks, I don't see them stopping. Like you said, Amari Cooper's dangerous. Ezekiel Elliott is dangerous. I mean, because he can find holes. They just have to go back to basics and tackle. They can't let someone get yards after catch or break through tackles. They need to do something. I mean, other than a sniper rifle, I don't know how to stop these guys.
No, we can't do that. No.
Why not?
All right. Because that's like murder, and Texas is a very weird state. So we can't really, you know, when it comes to laws like that,
I don't
know.
So,
can I ask a question? Do you think, you know, Dak Prescott is really looking forward to this game because this was the opponent he faced last time where he was injured for the rest of the year?
His ankle? I think he's going to be thinking about it, but he also knows that if he has seen any of the tape, he also knows that our defense can't sack. I mean, how many sacks have we really had so far this season? I mean, I honestly, it's going to be in the back of his mind, but I honestly believe that it ain't going to bother him much because he knows that his offensive line will probably hold up and keep us from getting to him.
Okay, that's cool. Good way to look at it. Carl, let's hear it, bro. Defense.
Okay. Boy, let's I would just like to ask what people think the Giants' defense for the first four games has been good at. Just ask yourself that question. Are they good at stopping the run? Yeah. Are they good at pressuring the quarterback? Are they good at coverage? Are they good at, you know, stopping the intermediate play? That's debatable. Are they good at stopping teams on third down? That's debatable, too. If I just asked you those five things, and if your answer to those questions are no, if your answer to the following five questions are no, then you can't tell me that the defense is good or has been good this season. There's no logical conclusion you can draw from saying, yeah, they're not good at any of these things, but they're playing good. What? That doesn't make any sense at all. So when it leads to the game on Sunday, and I know Lady Blue is mentioning about, you know, the bend but don't break thing, and they need to stop doing that. They don't have an option. When you don't have any pass rushers who can by themselves individually wreck the game, you are playing a defense that is designed on the opposing offense over the course of, let's just say, 8 to 10 plays, either having a penalty, an incomplete pass, a negative run, or something along the lines to sort of disrupt the drive. That's all they're trying to do because they specifically do not have the defensive players on the line that can individually just wreck the game. And so when you don't have that, you're put in this situation. So you're saying, well, we should blitz more. Well, the problem with blitzing that team that they're playing on Sunday is that they have guys a 10-yard pass and go 70. They can do that.
Yep.
That's what the Cowboys can do. Now, if you want to risk that, have at it.
Yeah.
Right. They got several guys that can do that. So if you want to risk that, have at it. But just know that a team that scores somewhere around 30, I think it's 30 some points a game as it stands right now, will put up 40 if you decide to do that. Now, maybe the Giants can score 30 and keep up with them and do it that way. I think that's probably the only way you can go about attacking this game is just match them point for point and hope the game is close in the fourth quarter. But the Cowboys are offensively, they stretch you in such a way where, okay, you want to take away the pass by putting six defensive backs in the field? Okay, they have Ezekiel Elliott. They'll easily run the ball for 5 or 6 yards doing that. Okay, you want to stop Elliott and commit to those to stop in the run? They have three receivers and the tight end out there that can go and make plays. So they have both ways of the game where they can stretch you. So how do you deploy a defense and say, oh, we're just going to pressure them consistently? That's not good. You have to sort of pick your poison. Do you want to take the chance of having them go 10 plays and try to get them to settle for a field goal inside the 20-yard line? That's probably the best option they have and have no other choice but to deploy it that way.
I hope Patrick Graham heard you. I think that's a good idea. Thank you, Carl. We'll be back, man. We got picks and all that other kind of good stuff. Dave, 3 minutes.
Defense. Yeah, what's going on? All right. So for the defense, I think the Giants' defense has played well. They haven't played great. They haven't played good. They haven't played to their potential. And the reason the Giants' defense has been playing well to me is because the scheme is right. The game plan is right. You know what I'm saying? They just got to execute it. The Giants, on this past Sunday, the defense played pretty well. You know what I'm saying? They just gave up a couple big plays. But when we needed them, they played winning football. That's the reason the Giants won, because they played winning defense football. And what I mean by that is in the first half, they stopped them on 4th and 3. Bradberry got that interception. Then we stopped them on 4th down in the 4th quarter with 3 minutes left. And then C.J. Ball ran it for 26 yards and gave the Giants good position to let Barkley score that touchdown. They didn't shoot themselves on the foot. They didn't have – the Giants had 3 penalties. All game for 0 first downs. I think for this game, Patrick Graham is going to come up with a scheme because we know we're not going to be able to sack Dak. So they're going to come up with a scheme. You don't have to – in a game of football, you don't have to have 2-3 sacks a game. Or as long as you put a little bit of some kind of pressure or make Dak Prescott think about something or the scheme, confuse him a little bit, it will slow Dak down. You know what I'm saying? Because we all know we don't have an elite rusher that's going to rush and get the sack. So I think Patrick Graham is smart enough, and I think they're going to key in and have some kind of schemes. They're going to play 2 safeties back. They're going to say, okay, Dallas, we'll give you 4 or 5 yards, 3 to 4 or 5 yards, but we ain't going to give you that deep ball. And if you really think about it, Dallas been scoring because of the turnovers. So Dak really hasn't went down length on the field. Every time, the reason the Cowboys been scoring a lot of points is because they get the ball at the 50, at the 40. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a short field because of the turnovers. And that's another thing. As long as the Giants don't commit those penalties like they did last week, they're going to put themselves in the driver's seat. Because we all know the Cowboys' offense is great, but who said our offense ain't good? Our offense, we could put up the points with them. You know what I'm saying? If the offensive line give Daniel Jones the time. The reason they had a good game is because the offensive line played lights out against the Saints. And the Saints' defensive line is pretty good. They're not that bad. You know, and they are 0 sacks. That's amazing. For that in New Orleans, 0 sacks? Who would have thought that Daniel Jones is not going to get sacked before that game? A lot of Giant fans would be like, nah, he's going to get sacked 2 or 3 times. He didn't get sacked. That's I give the offensive line my props, and I give that offensive line coach a lot of props for that.
You know what? I didn't really think about it before until I was listening to Carl, man. But that two-headed tandem, Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know, man. That's something else to worry about. I think this team is. Let me be honest, because I can't stand the Cowboys, but I got to be honest about. I got to say this. Right now, they're about to on offense. They're on juggernaut status. Okay, everybody's playing well. They're getting ready to fire up on all cylinders. They've only had 4 games, and I think. I don't really know what the stats are. That's a Carl thing, but I do know they can't be no less than top 3 overall. And you know, I mean, they must be averaging about 20, 35 points a game. Everybody that they played probably are not – they probably held them to less than 50% third down conversion. And that is an albatross for – you know, that's what they do on defense. And that's what they do on defense. And we, if we could keep getting off the field, Steve, on three and outs, and we go back to the goddamn the way we were in the friggin' Denver game again, we're going to have to see that offense a lot. Okay? And that kind of scares me. So what's going to have to happen is the real star, we said at the beginning, you know, who do we got to look out for, this and that. We got to also look out for what the other key is, whatever Patrick Graham has cooked up, okay, overall, because he's looking at about 10 different categories. I mean, he's looking at speed. He's looking at his slot receivers, which also double as outside cats. Everybody knows that Dallas's tight ends eat us up every fucking year. You got to look at the backfield, and you got to look at the IQ that Dak Prescott has and how motivated he's going to be because of what happened last year and all this shit. You know, so they're like that on that way. If we get off the field again, our defense is going to be just decimated by the third quarter. I'm actually worried about that. And yes, I'm expressing concern because that's how I feel. There you go, Steve.
No, I got nothing else to add. Let's get to the picks before we get off. I got nothing else to add.
Let's do it. I need the listing, sir.
All right. Next week I'll have the scores. I haven't got 4 weeks of play, but anyway, only two people left of the survivor. That's Carl and myself. Only two people left. That's me and Carl for the survivor.
Wow.
But today, yeah, this week's games: Eagles at Panthers, Browns at Chargers, Bills at Chiefs, Giants at Cowboys.
All right. Well, let's fire it up, Lady Blue. You're up first.
All right. Give me 3 Panthers, 4 Browns, 2 Bills, and 1 Giants because I can't pick that. I can't even pick that team no matter what. And, I'm so pissed.
Give it to me one more time, please.
3 Panthers, 4 Browns, 2 Bills, 1 Giants. And, yeah, the Titans screwed me last week.
I know. Okay. Got it. All right. Carl, you're up, sir.
All right. Let's go Chiefs 1, Chargers 2. It's going to be a high-scoring game, but unfortunately I think we'll be on the wrong end of it this week. Dallas 3 and the Panthers with 4.
Dave, you are up, sir.
Panthers 2, Chiefs 1. No, I'm sorry, Chiefs 3. And then you said Browns and Chargers?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, wait. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Brown Chargers 1, and I got to go with my G-Man at 4, man.
Got it. Okay. All right. Brother Bates.
All right. Give me Chiefs 4, Chargers 3, Giants 2, and Panthers 1.
Steve, let me get Brown 4, Panthers 3, Bills 2, and I'm going to say Giants 1.
Carl, did we get your survivor for this week?
Oh yeah, Carl. Sorry about that.
Oh,
You know what? Give me give me a second. I didn't even know this played a game. You know what? Give me a Minnesota.
All right.
Minnesota.
I have my minute. We're gonna go down together, Carl. That's who I have for my survivor. All right, let me get to my picks. It's possible we both get eliminated. I wrote it down, man. Shit, I had it written down somewhere. All right, man. I'm gonna just go off the top of my head. I had, damn, should I write that shit? All right, I had KC4. I think I had KC4. I can't believe where I put that shit. KCF4, Dallas 3, Panthers 2, Cleveland 1, and that's it. And I had my survivor was Vikings. I know I had that. That I did have. I remember.
Oh.
Any Boston predictions?
Any what?
Any boxing predictions?
Oh, I see what you say. Oh, Fury. Rounds. Distance.
Really?
Anybody want to chime in on that?
I think Fury is going to end this thing in the 6th round.
Okay.
I both definitely do. This ain't going to go that far. Wait a minute, Carl. Who's yours?
I think the fight. I heard that Fury put on 25 pounds, which has me very concerned. I'm not so sure if that's a good thing or not. I'm going to take a flyer that Wilder surprises him.
What? Okay. I can't wait to get to the Vegas. All righty then. All right. All right. Let's do this thing. Let's do the damn thing. Lady Blue, final thought.
Real quick,
final thoughts is I really hope we kick their ass and we come away without injuries. But bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Incredible Lady Blue. Carl.
You know, hopefully they can stack back-to-back weeks together because I think this week will tell you a lot more than what we saw last week. If they go out and just get drilled, then it's as if last week never really happened.
Wow. That hurts. Okay. All right, y'all. All right. Dave, let's have it from the Big Blue Denver crew.
And my final thought is I lived in Texas for probably 12 years before I moved to Colorado. And, you know, the Cowboy fans, the Cowboy players, the coaches, they're going to be real cocky coming into this game thinking it's going to be an easy game. And I think the Giants are going to come out with the coaches are going to come out with a great scheme. And I think they're going to do it, man. Go Blue. I think they're going to put the NFL on notice.
They need to. The feeling that we had, that temporary feeling, felt pretty good for a minute. So let's keep it going. Thanks, sir.
I will be in the building. Hopefully, I will be in Dallas looking to be in the building for the game. I have a feeling. I haven't felt like this in a while. I think we're going to do something. And I think we're going to come out. And I'm just looking for Jones. One of the things I've asked for years on this show is to see consistent improving play on our offense. And from Jones, I must say he's been improving. And for my boxing prediction, like Blackjack, I always bet on black. I got my man Wilder in a late round knockout.
Gotcha. All right.
Come hang out with us on Saturday, Bakes.
Gotcha.
Thank you, brother Bakes. Dave, Big Blue Denver crew. Carl FC Notes, Lady Blue. Forgot NYG Love 16. I think the handle. Okay. Hey, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com, all that good stuff. Check out the archives. Check I don't know what's going to happen there. We'll forget about that. And also, by the way, check us out on our iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and here is Azul. Take you home.
I should have said this sometime during the show. Got to get Barkley touches. Nobody brought up Barkley. I don't remember hearing his name, but regardless.
You know what? Absolutely.
You put him on.
Absolutely.
Chris, can I finish? You put him out at wide receiver.
No, I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? There was a breakdown in coverage. We kind of need to see more of that maybe out of the backfield. It's not necessarily about rushes. It's about touches, and that's all I got for Barkley, man. We want to get him more involved in the offense. That's our best weapon. All right, I'm out, man. We're done. Anything else you like to ask?
Be blue.
Be blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.